This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
Thank you. And I want to observe that this is just past the third anniversary of us doing these interviews.
Get out of here.
No, we've been doing it for 3 years now.
Wow. Sunrise, sunset. Quickly the days, they do fly.
Before Ben breaks into song, I want to...
Where was that little girl I once met?
Thank all of our faithful listeners over the years. And a shout out to faithful listener Linda Paul, esteemed Chicago journalist.
Oh, okay.
Today, however, we're talking about your article titled The Merck's Manual that appears in the Chicago Reader on December 2nd, 2010. And in this article, you identify a subsidy to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange by the City of Chicago from our friend, Tax Increment Financing.
Our friend, the TIF.
And compare it to the request by the Cubs owners to get city subsidy for rehabbing Wrigley Field.
It's a handout. It's enabling the Cubs to spend that portion of the tax that would otherwise go to the city on themselves.
In your article, you identify the city is proposing to give the Chicago Mercantile Exchange $15 million.
By the time this airs, it may have already been given to them, but I don't think it has been given yet.
And that's on top of some property tax relief that is connected to some historical preservation classification that the building that they're in got, which you say amounts to around $17 million over 12 years. So let's call it a cool 30 mil.
Okay.
So is there any particular reason you focused on the Mercantile Exchange as opposed to other recipients of TIF largesse over the years?
This particular matter was popped into my head because Mayor Daley made the official proposals of the city council at roughly the same time that the Cubs were asking the city and the state to sign on to the diversion of the amusement tax for their purposes. And I was just struck by the radically different reactions, where there was just outrage to the notion that the Cubs would get public dollars to fix up Wrigley Field, and there was virtual silence to the request by the Merck to get public funds to fix up their building, the old Board of Trade.
Even though they came at the same time.
Yes, even though they were announced at the same time. And that, you know, most of the article is spent examining exactly what the Merck's going to get. But I spend a little time at the front sort of ruminating on why there's a difference, why there's a stronger reaction to the Cubs than to Merck. I think also that part of the reason there's a stronger reaction has to do with the fact that the media in this town has not quite figured out how to cover TIF-related subsidies, so they just tend to ignore them in general.
It's like a cloak of invisibility.
It's a cloak of invisibility. Now, it was interesting. There was an article, I think it was in today's Sun-Times, today being Thursday, in which the gist of it was that the Cubs' plan is officially over. It's dead. So now they're trying to think of new plans. And one of the ideas that was thrown out there, which I just find absolutely beyond irony, is to create a TIF. Okay, to create a TIF at the corner of Clark and Addison. I mean... well, we TIFed already the corner of North and Clybourne and gave the money to a car dealership. So I, you know, why not? You know what I mean? But that would be interesting to see if they go that route, if there will be an outcry. Generally with subsidies, the key is to do one of two things for the people who are supporting the subsidy. And one is to come up with some kind of cockamamie illogical argument that essentially says that the subsidy is not really a subsidy, which is generally how the TIF has worked so well and where the Cubs stumbled on their amusement tax. And then the second one is to exaggerate the public benefits that will rebound as a result of giving the subsidy to the company. And this is what also the city does with TIFs, and they do it with the Merck, where they're trying to convince us that, in fact, this $15 million is going to, one, create new jobs, which I'm not quite sure I believe, or two, is the reason why the jobs that already exist did not leave and go to Atlanta because of a bidding war, which I don't believe either.
And which the owners of the Merck say was never going to happen to begin with.
Well, they said that 3 years ago. This time around, they chose not to comment about it. I think I'm the only man in Chicago who's interviewed the folks at Atlanta, and they said not only did they not have any intention of moving jobs to Atlanta, they were going to bring jobs from Atlanta to Chicago because they were going to move their base of operation to Chicago. Moreover, they said they told that to the city before Mayor Daley made that offer to the Board of Trade and the Merck. So I think this was an excuse concocted by Mayor Daley to justify a handout that he wanted to give all along.
To his campaign contributors.
To his campaign contributors and his buddies.
Stepping back a bit with tax increment financing, you've undoubtedly heard of the proposed Sweet Home Chicago ordinance, which is a law, if enacted, would require that the city dedicate 20% of tax increment financing funds annually to affordable housing, so-called affordable housing. That would increase projected spending on affordable housing, depending on whose numbers you look at. Just the amount of money used from tax increment financing would jump from reportedly $2 million to $100 million per year. On the other hand, critics say that the proposed laws, two of which are going to come before the city council next week, there's an advocate's version and I guess there's a city version. Critics say that it doesn't make TIF spending any more transparent or controlled by the community. And I'm wondering if you have any take on these proposed ordinances.
It absolutely has no impact on the issue of transparency, which is the buzzword for enabling the public to see how the money is spent. That's a separate issue. The city has made some steps in the direction of giving the public access to crucial TIF information and crucial TIF documents, but it has a long way to go. So this proposal really has nothing to do with that. I suppose the best argument for this proposal is that if you dedicate from the get-go a portion of TIF dollars to low-income or affordable housing, then you prevent the city right up front from spending it on something like $15 million to the Merck, because there'll be less money that the city has to play around with. And the great scam, which there are many in the TIF program, is that more money is brought in every year than there are programs to spend it. So the mayor's left with a large chunk of change that he can do what he wants with. So if he wants to give $15 million to one of the wealthiest companies in the world, one of the wealthiest trading companies in the world, he's free to do so.
Or give a rebate back to the budget.
And to the Board of Education. Lord knows what they're going to do with it. So that would be an argument that I could see advanced to defend the Sweet Home Chicago ordinance. But I'm not a fan of the Sweet Home Chicago ordinance. I think that they're trying to make the best of a bad world. I think the TIF program is a bad program, and I think we should blow it up and start all over again. And if the city wants to put forth money to promote low-income housing or affordable housing, they should do so with a direct affordable housing program that comes straight out of the property taxes, instead of coming up with this
backdoor
bizarre scheme, which, by the way, taxes the Board of Education. This is the part that I always explain to the Sweet Home supporters who call me looking for support. I go, you know, you're taking this money from the schools. And not only that, you're creating housing. So there's a chance that you're going to be adding students to the mix while taking money from the schools that they need to educate them. So I just don't think the TIF program is a healthy program the way it's run. And I think the Sweet Home Chicago ordinance just sort of is trying to take advantage of all the unhealthiness there.
When you've posed that point to advocates for this law, what sort of responses have you gotten?
Well, it depends who I'm talking to. And it also depends on sort of the spirit of the conversation. If we're, you know how I can get, Dave, if we're having one of my conversations where I'm talking really loud and really fast, and chances are they'll come back with an honest response along the lines of, yes, we know the system is corrupt, but this is the system we live in, and you know, we have to live here, so we're going to take advantage of it. And if it's more or less an on-the-record official discussion or debate, they'll say something along the lines of, that's interesting what you have to say. Let me get back to you. And then I never hear from them again because they know that I will not be likely to write a story favoring whatever they want.
We'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of the story with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.
Peace.